Again, welcome. And now we get to do a little show and tell here. So part of who we are comes out of who and a lot of the faiths that we've come through. And we realize that as a church, we're not just going to be some another Assemblies of God church. Like, and I'm not saying that in any negative way towards Assembly of God. Like, that's not it at all. Like, we know that God has called us to be something a little bit different. And we didn't know what that meant. And then we got to Columbiana County, and we're like, oh, Columbiana County's different. And what I mean by that is Columbiana County, like, for a great reason, but for some reason, they're all about each other. Like, they want to help. They're the neighbors, they're the friends, they're the relatives. Like, when I grew up in East Palestine, just down the street, you knew everybody. And when you know everybody, you sometimes that's a good thing, but a lot of times it's not. But you also know who's hurting and who's you know, needs some help. And so we knew that when we came to Columbiana, that one of the things we want to do was we wanted to partner with other churches, other religions. It wasn't about one religion, it's about Christ. And so when we came here, that's what we wanted to do. Well, growing up, I grew up Presbyterian, and we did Advent every year. And I'm like, ooh, I want to do Advent. But not just for the sake of a tradition of doing Advent. I was speaking earlier, I said, a lot of times, a lot of churches actually preach through Advent, but don't really call it Advent. Like this week, they'll talk about hope. Oh, really? Like, they won't call it Advent, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I just like, I'm a children's pastor at heart. I like to have a visual that go with it. So that's where we have the Advent wreath. And so we're going to be walking through that. But I realized, and I was just telling Jeff this today, I'm like, many times in church, we're like, well, you know that verse. And most people out there are like, I don't have a clue what you're even talking about. So when I'm talking about Advent, I realized, well, there may be people that don't. What does that even mean? And I'm not going to get into the deep spiritual means of everything because we're going to dig through that over the month. But if you've grown up in church, you may have seen these, or you may see the pictures posted online, and I may be posting as well this week. But what Advent is it's just talking about the arrival. And we're talking through technically 5 points with the Christ candle being in the middle, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But it's talking through some points as we're expecting, the expectation of Christ coming. We're talking, you know, it's his birth. And so we're gonna talk through the expectations of that. But it's also a way in this season to say, slow down. Let's take a look at what we have, and let's appreciate what we have through what we're about to celebrate. See, Advent points to two arrivals, and neither one of them is Santa. It points to two things, one that already happened and one that's going to happen again. First, we look back. We remember that God of the universe stepped into our darkness as a baby in Bethlehem. We get to look at that every year. And I think sometimes, myself included, especially when I was younger, it's Christmas. We're going to hear the story again, blah, blah, blah. And I think for some people, we've gotten so far, like, I don't want to hear it again. We'll talk about something else, that we've actually lost that reverence and awe in it. But here we are. We're a people who should be waiting. And that's the thing. Waiting is hard. Some of us are waiting on healings that haven't happened yet. Some of us are waiting for financial breakthrough that if this just comes, like, everything will be better. Some are waiting for this prodigal son to return. But Advent says your waiting is not wasted. Because God who showed up once will show up again. That's why each week when we go through these, Advent highlights a different theme. First week is hope. Second week is peace. Third week is joy. Fourth week is love. And then we get to Christmas Eve, which is Christ's candle. Now for us, the reason I don't have Christ's candle here, one, he hasn't come yet. And two, as a church, as Connection Church, we are going to be partnering with another ministry, and we're going to be celebrating Christmas Eve at Columbiana County Fairgrounds and doing it there. So the candle is not going to be here. It's going to be there, and so that's why it's not in here. So this week is about hope, not the wishful thinking, you know, like if you're a Michigan fan, thinking that they will come back and they didn't. No, this is biblical hope. This is hope of confident expectation, knowing and believing that what God promised, God will do. So, New Age, I light the first candle. The hope candle, we declare that something to our hearts. See, darkness isn't the last word. We can have a hope, no matter what we're going through. See, Israel's story wasn't over because there was a hope. Advent reminds us of Jesus, the light who came and the light who's coming again. And that means no matter what kind of night you're walking through, hope is not just possible, it's guaranteed. So I'm going to ask that we're going to read through Isaiah 9. I'm going to ask that we read for the standing of the word, or stand for the reading of the word. There's a hope that I might get through this message. So it's Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to be reading through the NIV translation. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of the Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Lord, we just come to you with this message today, not because we have to, but because we want to. Lord, change our hearts in this. Have us look at this season in a season of hope as we wait on your arrival. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You ever notice how, like, we get into the winter months and we just look at it? Like, for me, I don't know about you. My favorite is spring and maybe summer. I like it hot. I don't like cold. That's just me. I know there's some of you here that keep the air conditioning on all year long. That is not me. I don't like that. It's doom and gloom. It's like oh, it's dark at 3:30, 4 o'clock. I'm like, I don't understand that. Like, for me, like, I used to say that I have that SAS, sunlight effectiveness disorder or whatever. I just think I just don't like the season. It's okay. Days get shorter, right? And then we start looking at all of that, and we start thinking, oh, I don't like this. I don't want to get out of bed. I want to stay bundled up. And then our heads go through things, right? Well, what else don't I like? And you go through everything you don't like. We look back on the year, or at least I do. Did I really accomplish anything? Did I grow? Well, I didn't grow. But did I grow spiritually? Did I grow personally? Did I do enough to make a difference in myself so that I can make a difference in others? There are times, and I'm just being totally transparent, that even when I stand up here, I go, am I even worthy of being up here? Am I almost like an imposter syndrome? Like, I'm doing what you've called me to do, but I don't feel like I'm qualified. Did I do enough in my year of Bible study, enough memorization? I'm just being transparent, and I go through these, and it happens to be for me right about this time of year. And probably because you're inside more. For me, I'm inside more. I don't like to spend time outside, and I start getting in my own thoughts. Maybe some of you are like, why is my bank account shrinking? Why my waistline is not? How about this? Even in church, why didn't we get further than we are right now? You know, we're now into the last month of the year. And we're like, well, what about this vision we had for this whole year? We were supposed to be here. We've got 1 month. How are we going to ever get to where we were supposed to be? We didn't get far enough. We start going through those. But then Christmas comes around. We're like, ooh. And something in us wakes up. Christmas doesn't just bring music, lights, and peppermint lattes, if you like lattes. And of course, you have your Hallmark movies, which are all the same, by the way. I don't know, like, they're all the same.
They're different towns.
You're right.
Amen. Different princes.
But Christmas does bring expectation. It brings hope that a different one will come out. And biblical hope. Biblical hope, though, isn't just wishful thinking. It's not. It's not saying, man, I hope the Browns finally win a playoff game. Or, I hope Duncan gets my latte right this time. Those are all great hopes. You may be standing there for a while, though. But biblical hope is confidence. It's assurance. Because it's built on the character of God and not on man. Our hope is in Him. Because we can rest in Him. Isaiah 9 is a good is God's megaphone into our darkness, saying, a light is coming. In fact, it's already here. It's been here. And we can rest in that. We know that biblical hope is confident expectation. Many of us know what it's like to have a hope and hope and hope, and that just doesn't seem to ever come through. No matter what we do, no matter how much we pray, it just isn't coming. That breakthrough isn't there. For me, I remember when I was a kid, there were many times with my father, and this is not like I'm not bashing him at all, like really, like because there were so many good things in that. But there were some times that there was things promised, and it didn't come through. And so I had this hope that it'll change, something will change, and it didn't. Again, many great things. And that's where I had that hope, because I think in some way, if it was always negative, I wouldn't have had the hope that something would change. But here's the thing. Nobody ever plans to break promises. Nobody ever makes a promise going, I'm going to break that promise. They in their head, in some way, in some small way, really intend to come through with that. And then something else happens. See, that's called being man. That's human. We're going to do that. I'm going to disappoint you. It's going to happen. I'm going to say something that I intend to do, and if Carrie doesn't keep me on track, I will probably forget it. I'm going to disappoint you. It's going to happen. Because I am human. But see, here's the thing. God will never overpromise and underdeliver. Never. Not once. 2 Corinthians, Paul says it like this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are yes in Christ. Not a maybe. Not if he's in a good mood today. We put that on him. Those are the human characteristics we put on God. Oh, he must not like me today because look what everything I'm going through. But his promises are yes and amen. They will come through. We just like to do it in our own timeline. Isaiah paints this picture. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Have seen a great light, not a flicker of light, a great light. A light that dawns, that breaks in, that shatters the complete darkness. You ever take a lighter into the darkness, you know it says darkness will flee. It truly does. It will flee. You can shine this light into darkness and you will have light around it. It will flee. Scholars debate about the exact number of promises in the Bible, but it's roughly around 8,000-ish. 8,000 promises in the Bible. So if you need a promise to hold on to, you got 8,000 to choose from. But what matters is this. Every single promise God makes, He will keep. He promised salvation. Now, we have a part to play in this. It's not he's just going to do it all for us. He wants us to partner in this. He knows us. He knows our hearts. And he wants us to come along with him and partner with that. But if we want it, we can have salvation. He promises his presence. And sometimes that's hard for us to grasp. Like we hear it. But really, what does that mean? Is he sitting right next to me? Like, can I put my arm around him? Is he going to, like, audibly talk to me? What does his presence mean? How do I recognize that? And here's the cool thing. We get to explore that with him. And that's how you know he is present. Because as you dig deeper, you find him even more and more. And you figure out, well, what is it for you? Because for you, it's going to be a little bit different than me. But his presence, it was here tonight. Like, I felt it. But maybe you didn't, and that's okay. Because we're all on different journeys. And see, when you dig in and you read more and you pray more and you talk to him more, you'll figure out how he's going to talk to you and how you recognize his presence in your life. He promises provision. This is a great one. Prosperity gospel, not. He's going to provide for your needs. And I've said this before. He provides your needs when you line up with his will. When you're walking in his ways and you're walking in his will, he will provide for your needs when you need it. Again, beginning of summer, I've been praying for a truck. He'll provide a truck for me, but I got to go pay for it. A lot of people walk around and like, oh, I just got this new truck. Favor. No, it's called, you had enough money to buy a truck. It's not favor. Now, the Lord may have shown you favor in helping you to provide a job that gives you enough money that you can do that. But the truck itself, God doesn't care if you have a truck or a beat-up, you know, Chevrolet. Because as long as it's doing his will and you're walking in his ways, he's going to provide. See, his promises, he promises peace. That doesn't make sense on paper either. We can write it down. Oh, yeah, the peace that passes all understanding. The heck does that even mean? You'll know. You'll know when you're going through those hard times. You'll know when you're walking through something, especially if you're walking with someone, another brother and sister in Christ, and you're walking through that, and they can point out something in you that, like, and the other people are going, you should be totally broken through this. And you're going, no, there's a peace in this. We walk through with our mortgage company, and I've said this before, in total peace. 7 years fighting with our mortgage company. People are like, why would you go through that? There was a peace in it. Couldn't understand it. But I know that it was God. Because his presence was with us. There was a hope in that. There was biblical hope. Confident expectation that when everything is done and everything is accomplished, we will be okay. It's not that we will be perfect. It's not that everything is going to be great. The Lord's going to protect. He's going to provide. When we enter into that, we can hope, not wishful dreamers, but like people who know the ending of the story. The biblical hope we're talking about today is the expectation and the hope that Christ is and will return again. He was already here. We're looking at Christmas. I love this time of year, other than the cold. Because there's just this lift in everybody's spirit. There's just a difference when you start walking around and you're talking to people and, you know, Christ is coming. This is the reason for the season. And when you start really digging into that, it is. And it lifts you because there's an expectant hope that's confident in Christ. In this, the people waited in darkness. But see, God promised a Savior. If you didn't get a chance to, or if you don't know, our messages are on online through a podcast, and you can listen to them. And last week, one of our team members, Chad, had spoken, and he spoke last week about the Israelites waiting in 400 years in silence. 400 years. I don't know about you, but I'm not living 400 years. So if I'm not hearing from the Lord, I'm like, well, that's it. Some of us can't even wait 4 minutes for something in a microwave. Yet here's generation after generation after generation after generation going, I still have hope. There's a silence in this, but I can look forward to something. Some of us, 'tis the season. Amazon's going to take 4 days now? What? It's supposed to be two. I paid for Prime. Order earlier. I don't know what else to say. Or coffee. I was in line the other day to get a coffee. I don't care because I'll talk to anybody in line anyhow. But I was in line and there was somebody behind me. They're like, this line's too long. I'm leaving. Like, we can't wait for a line for a coffee. Like, but they waited 400 years for a king. Now, their version of the king was a little bit different than what we know now. But they were looking for someone to come in and save them from everything that was going on. And they had this hope, and they waited generation after generation for someone to deliver them. Someone that's going to be their savior. And here's the thing. Every Christmas, we get just a glimpse of what that is like. Because deep down, we all know that we need something or someone outside of us to fix what's broken inside of us. We can't do it ourselves. We can do it alongside of someone. But we need Jesus to come and heal what's inside of us. Again, we have things that we have to do in this. This isn't, he's going to miraculously, he can and will if you ask him. But not every, like, there's something we need to do. We need to walk in his will. Maybe there's something he wants you to walk through for a moment. See, they were waiting for a political fix, a military fix, a national fix. But God was sending them a heart fix. Not a king to overthrow Rome, but a king to overthrow eternal death. Not a ruler to fix the government, but a savior to fix our souls. They waited, and they longed for it, and God delivered exactly what they needed, even if it wasn't what they expected. So who are we to come along and go, I want this, I expect this, I should get this, and we do. Not in this season. In this season, we should be coming in with the expectation of whatever you want, Lord, for us. I'm broken. Come help me be fixed. I'm willing to wait if that means I need to wait longer than what I think. We, as coming as a church, we waited longer than we thought we should have had to wait. But guess what? It was so much better, so much sweeter. We could not have put together what's been put together. We could not have made the connections with the community that have been made. We could not, I can go on and on. Because we, again, don't want to wait 4 minutes for something in a microwave. And Lord's going, just wait. Just wait. Are you willing to wait? Jesus is the fulfillment of every God-given promise. The ultimate yes to every promise, it's Jesus. He shows up. He's God in flesh, not to condemn us, but to save us. John 3:16-17 says that. He didn't come to condemn the world. God so loved us. So loved us. Before we were even here, that he sent his only son. He loved us that much. Why? To die for us. What? That's insane. I don't know that I could send my son in to die for other. I don't know if I could do that. I really don't. I want to say that I will obey everything God says, but he tells me to offer up my son. Man, I'm struggling with that one. Just being real. But here he was. He's like, look, I know you before you're even born, and I want to save you. You are that important to me because I love you so much. See, he didn't send Jesus to point a finger. It was to offer a hand into our mess, to step into our darkness, to stand in our place, even though we didn't deserve it. He took our place on that cross. When he went on that cross, he took all of our sins. He went through all that for us. Jesus would go after the lost sheep. One, he's willing to leave the 99 for the one, for you, for me. That's the promise we have in Jesus. The greatest promise God ever made, salvation, comes with the greatest invitation. Just come to me. Repent. Be with me. He wants us to be with him. He doesn't want us away. He's not pushing us away. He's welcoming us in to his flock. He wants us to be with him. It pains me when people are like, God doesn't even want me. Yes, he does. Why would he send his son to die for you if he didn't want you? Here's the thing, we don't even have to get all cleaned up and we don't have to put on our good flannels to do that. Amen. Or my only flannel. We don't have to do that. We could be in our mess the way we are right now. He wants you just the way you are. He just wants you to come to him. He wants you to be with him. Here's the thing, though. Again, our season of waiting, that's when hope grows the strongest. Hope will grow stronger the longer you wait, if you're willing to wait. That's the key. Hope doesn't grow best on mountaintops. It grows in the waiting rooms. I got a whole nother message on that. Sometimes we just have to sit and wait. We don't like it. Some of you feel like you've been in God's waiting room for a long time. Again, maybe you're waiting for healing. Waiting for a relationship or to repair a relationship. Maybe you're waiting for freedom from something, a breakthrough. Maybe there's an addiction you're dealing with that you're like, I need this breakthrough. Maybe it's a financial breakthrough. Maybe you've been praying to God for years. Still not 400, just letting you know. It's not. Maybe you feel like Veruca Salt. I want it, and I want it now. By the way, she's a bad egg, so you don't want to be like her. I know it doesn't say it there. For those of you listening, we have a picture of Veruca Salt on the video. We get that way. I want it now. Why can't I have it now? You promised me if I prayed, you can make it happen. He did. He can. But sometimes there's something you have to do. You have to meet him somewhere, do something, go through something, finish something that he's already asked you to do. And sometimes what you want isn't lined up with his will either. But here's the thing. The longer we wait, the deeper our hope gets. Because hope isn't found in the thing you're waiting for. It's found in the one you're waiting on. When we have hope in Christ, we're waiting through him, on him, not on the thing we're hoping for, that breakthrough. See, when we want to rest in his presence, we're resting because that's what we're supposed to be doing. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of that thing. You've already given it. If you truly give it to him, if you truly surrender that to him, he'll take care of it in time. In that waiting, we just need to be with him. People everywhere, I found this, and it doesn't matter what profession you're in, but being in education, you know, we have parent-teacher conferences, and I meet with a lot of parents, meet with a lot of families, and they're looking for hope. See, we have the hope. We have what can fill that void, but they're looking for hope, and they're going to find it. They're going to find it in whatever is going to come their way. They're waiting for hope. And so if they've been waiting, 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 and they haven't gotten the hope that we understand as Christians, they're going to find it in their way, whether it be alcohol, drugs. Maybe it's a workaholic. I need that financial breakthrough, and if I don't get it, then, well, I might as well work 3, 4, 5 jobs. Now I don't have my kids. See, this whole thing trickles down because God won't give me what I need. You know, we start doing the blame game because we're not willing to be with him and wait on him. They'll cling on to anything that promises any sort of relief, but only Jesus promises that rescue. When we share him with people, when we walk with people, talk with people, love them, meet them where they are, not force them to come to us, not meet them where we are, but meet them truly where they are and start there. Then then we can show them the hope that we have. Again, when we were walking through our stuff that we were walking through, people knew there was something different. Like, how could you go through that? Let me tell you how I could go through that. It opens up the doors to conversations to show them how to wait in that season. See, at that point, we're not using this as a weapon to change the world. We don't have to weaponize the scriptures. That's not for us to do. Our job is to hand them the cure, which is Jesus. Our job is to share the love. Love thy enemy. We've forgotten that. We're supposed to love everyone. Unconditional love. That's hard to do. Again, because we're human. But if we truly meet them where they are, then we can start to help them through and discover who Jesus is and fill that void, that thing that they're looking for. I was watching videos, and I do this. I was watching videos the other day of gentlemen who go around, and they're taking care of homeless people, and sometimes they'll pay for things. But there was this one, and I got on his videos for a long time, because what he was doing was he wasn't just helping them financially or giving them a sandwich. He got to know them. And they have stories. And too often, we look at situations or other people and they're going through things and we go, well, it's a shame they don't. Too bad they live like. It's so easy to condemn. Jesus didn't come to condemn. And neither are we supposed to do the same thing. We hand them the cure. Hope isn't a concept. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. So this week, here's some things we can do to put hope or put this all into action. Personally, identify one area where you need renewed hope. Where is it you need to trust Jesus with some hope? Maybe you've lost that. Maybe it's something like, oh, years ago, I hoped for this. Try it again. Bring it to God every day. Ask him to meet you in that waiting room. How about speaking scripture over your dark situation? How about reading scripture first? 8,000 promises. Pick one. Find one. Google it. Like I hear people all the time, where do I start? I don't know. Google. AI. It's there. Use it. If you're using AI, double check it by reading your Bible. Right? If you Google 8,000 promises like I did, you're going to get about 10, and they'll go, do you want more? And I'm like, yeah, no, let's stop there because I don't want to see all 8,000. Find one that you can cling to, then find another, and see if it doesn't change your world. And then third, be the hope for someone else. Be there for someone. Don't just talk about what they should do. Be around them. Especially in this season, again, people, myself included, we shut ourselves up. It's cold outside. I'm not going out. Reach out to them. Call them. Text them. FaceTime them. Go to their house. Take them out for coffee. They're going to fight you because they don't want to go out in the cold. But if you promise to pay for the coffee, they might go. But be their hope, because there's so many people right now. This is the time of isolation. This is the time that people go, I don't. For many reasons. We've got holidays coming up. Can't deal with my family. I don't have a family. We'll go down that route. I don't have any money to go get gifts. We start shutting ourselves off from the world because we don't see the hope. So you get the chance to be hope for someone else. Let God use you to bring light into someone's darkness this week. That's my challenge. We can sit here in a situation like this in a church and go, yeah, Christ is our hope. But what about out there? What about in the world? Where's their hope? Again, I'm on too much scrolling. But it's doom scrolling. And it breaks my heart. Because here's people fighting with other people. Doom and gloom. The world is ending. This, that, the other. This person thinks this way. This person thinks this. We get to be that hope. We are to take it from here and share it. We are to be the light that the candle burning, we get to be that light for other people. That's my challenge to you this week. Be the hope that we know that we have in Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand as I close in prayer. I say all that as I say I am excited for the season. I'm excited because I want presents too. Like, let's not sugarcoat it. Like, I want, and it's okay to have that stuff. It's okay to want to hang out with kids and grandkids and do all, like, it is. Please do that. We don't have grandkids yet. But we're going to hang out. That's what it's about. Don't stay shut up. That doesn't sound right. Don't stay in your house. Speak up. How about that? I encourage that. Father, we ask you that in our darkness, and we thank you. We thank you that you sent a great light. You sent us Jesus. You have many, many promises that we can cling on to know that your promises are yes and amen. So teach us to trust that your promises, the ones that you gave us, trust that we, in the waiting, with expectation and hope, that we can have confidence that you will fulfill those promises. Strengthen us in the waiting and fill us with your presence today. Make us people who bring your hope to a world longing for light. Allow us to be that beacon that you have allowed us to be, and not just a couple of people sitting here and taking it all in. Allow us to take your hope to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, I love you. Have a great week.